The time it takes to approve big developments, including mines or new roads, will be slashed under a new drive to get major projects off the ground as quickly as possible. Speeding up environmental approvals is the latest element of the government's plan to stimulate Australia's flat economy. And today the government will announce another $570 million worth of infrastructure projects will be fast-tracked to boost investment and create jobs. Alan Tudge is the Minister for Urban Infrastructure. He's in Adelaide this morning where the weather conditions are pretty difficult today. Would you like to give us an update on conditions there this morning?
Yeah, good morning, Hamish. It is very, very windy. You can smell smoke in the air. And it actually is quite concerning here in Adelaide, as it is in other parts of Australia.
Okay, so some pretty significant announcements today. Clearly, the key to boosting growth in the economy is lifting both wages and productivity. Where's the economic plan to do that?
Well, boosting infrastructure is all part of our overall economic plan. Now, we've already announced a $100 billion program of work over the next 10 years, and this week we've announced we're bringing forward almost $4 billion of work into the next few years so that we can get more projects underway more quickly.
But how is this going to boost wages and productivity?
Well, of course, I mean, if you develop infrastructure, it does two things. One, it provides an immediate boost because it creates jobs. And today, our projects alone are supporting 85,000 jobs around the country. But second, once you've actually built the infrastructure, of course, it means that the transport is more efficient, the trucks can get across from one side of the city to the next or across Australia, and that means productivity is enhanced as well.
Obviously, there's already been $7 billion worth of tax cuts. The impact of that has been questionable because households seem to have used that extra cash to pay down debt instead of pushing it into the wider economy. Is this announcement today an acknowledgement that that has not done the job of kicking the economy along?
No, I mean, this is part of our broader plan. Now, we've had this plan all year. We took it to the election where tax cuts were part of it, but infrastructure was also part of it, as was signing more free trade agreements, as was the deregulation agenda. We've been very consistent with our economic plan.
Now, sure, but this is a new announcement today. I mean, we didn't know necessarily that this was coming.
Well, we've been talking about this for several months. I mean, we wrote to the premiers back in August to say, do you have projects which you were able to bring forward to support more jobs creation and to get more projects done quickly? And then over the last few months, we've been carefully working with the state ministers and the premiers to put these packages together. And then this week, we've been announcing these packages, and they will support thousands more jobs. Just yesterday, I was in Western Australia with the Premier of Western Australia, and the six projects alone which we're announcing there that can get cracking from the beginning of next year will support a further 1,000 jobs on top of the already 85,000 jobs which are being supported by the existing projects which are underway. So it's more jobs, getting projects done more quickly. In many cases, these are in regional areas as well because they're often often easier to get done more quickly and using local contractors. And that's overall great for jobs, great for the economy, and it's great for commuters as well.
Listening to the Prime Minister this morning when he spoke on AM, he seemed to think that a key to all of this is slashing the approval time for big projects. That can't just be achieved by digitising the process. How are you actually going to slash the time?
Yeah, so what the Prime Minister was talking about last night was particularly in relation to environmental approvals. And a number of state governments have raised this with us, that it takes too long to get the environmental approvals through. Now, no one wants to diminish the environmental standards, but if we can get rid of some of the duplication, if we can make the process more efficient, then that means we can get on with these major projects more quickly. So that's the overall objective here.
So, okay, that's the objective. How are you actually going to deliver that, though? Because clearly stakeholders that have to sign off on big developments. Are you going to remove some of them from the process by, reducing duplication?
Well, part of it is reducing the duplication so that if you're doing a project, you don't have to put exactly the same information to the state government as you would to the federal government, for example, and have a one-stop shop for environmental approvals. But we're working through all of these things, but it absolutely is an issue. In fact, the Western Australian
No question it's an issue. We've heard that on the program.
We want to make this more efficient without reducing the standards.
With respect, Minister, this is a specific question about your proposed solution. Clearly, digitising the process itself is not going to necessarily cut 18 months off an approval process. What are you doing to the process itself to make it easier for these projects to get up?
Well, so that's what we're going to be working through to get this job done correctly. Now,
so you don't know yet.
Part of it, reducing some of the duplication. And well, the Prime Minister signalled last night the direction which we are heading and the very firm intent to reduce the time taken for environmental approvals, and we'll work through methodically that process to reach that end, in consultation with the state governments as well, who also have a great interest in doing this. As I said, I was literally discussing yesterday with the Western Australian Premier this precise issue. No one wants to reduce the standards, but everybody wants to make the process more efficient.
With respect, Minister, that response sounds pretty vague. I mean, there will be people this morning wanting to understand what reducing duplication actually looks like in practice. Are you saying you've announced this without actually thinking through the specific changes?
The work is ongoing here, but the overall direction has been announced by the Prime Minister last night. Some work has already been done, but there's more work to go in this direction.
So could you offer any certainty or guarantee to people concerned about this announcement that there'll be no reduction in the threshold around environmental approvals as a result of these changes?
Well, the overall objective here is to make the process more efficient, to make it more timely, to reduce the duplication so the projects can get underway more quickly. That's the objective, as I've said now a couple of times. It's not to reduce the standards.
Is that one of the talking points this morning, Minister?
More efficient. No, it's not.
You just keep repeating the same thing, and I'm trying to get a little bit of specificity around this, because it is a big change.
And the Prime Minister signalled this last night, so I don't mean to go over the same material, but the Prime Minister signalled very clearly the direction which we're going. There's more work to do, but it's very well understood across state governments and inside the federal government that we have to make the process more efficient and that we can do so. And that's the direction which we're heading.
Okay. You're announcing today $570 million for road projects in New South Wales will be fast-tracked. What projects?
So there's three big ones, really. So $200 million for the Newell Highway upgrades. There's some Princes Highway corridor packages as well, which are being brought forward, and there's some work done on the Pacific Highway as well. So there's the three of the larger ones, and then there's some smaller things as well.
Now, and how quickly will that money fly out the door? How many jobs are we going to see created as a result of that?
So this money is going to be basically almost immediately. Many of these projects will be beginning, say, the middle of next year. That's when our funding will start to flow. Now, I haven't got a jobs figure on each of those, but we're talking here across the board about supporting thousands of additional jobs. As I said, even just yesterday, with the announcements which were made in Western Australia, it was 1,000 additional jobs just for six projects. I'm about to do a further announcement today, a sod turn of another $350 million project, which is a further 200 jobs each year. So every single one of these projects delivers jobs, and that's a big part of what we're trying to do here. Already we've got thousands of jobs underway with the 130 major projects which are underway as we speak. They're supporting 85,000 jobs. This is more jobs on top of that.
I need to ask you about the broader plan that you've referred to a few times in this interview. This package is obviously part of the $3.8 billion worth of projects the government's pulling forward. Are you making the argument that this is going to have a significant impact on the economy more broadly?
Well, it is part of our economic plan, and it always has been, and that's what we took to the election, and that was my point.
I just want to understand, though, whether you think that this particular amount is actually going to provide stimulus for the broader economy. Because the point is being made this morning that the amount is just 0.1% of GDP spread over 2 years. So ultimately, a drop in the ocean.
No, but it still provides vitally important jobs, both in the cities and importantly in the regions. And I gave you some of those stats just then. Six projects in Western Australia, 1,000 jobs. One of them, the Mitchell Freeway widening, will be underway from early next year. That's 500 jobs alone in Perth that previously wasn't there. Now, again, we're announcing more projects today in New South Wales and indeed in South Australia, which we've got a major sod turn. More jobs again. So, of course, it supports the economy. And it has always been part of the planks of our economic plan, along with the tax cuts. along with the free trade agreements, along with the deregulation agenda. But the infrastructure plan is always a very major element of that, because it does support jobs growth in the short term and it does boost productivity in the medium and longer term.
Population growth, immigration growth as well, is obviously needed to help offset what the Treasurer is calling an ageing economic time bomb. According to Infrastructure Australia, the infrastructure budget will have to top $40 billion a year to support that higher population, the 31 million people that are forecast by 2034. Will we get even close to that in the coming years, do you think?
I don't have the forecast in front of me, but I think we do actually get close to that figure in the next few years. I mean, our figure at the moment from the federal government's perspective is close to $10 billion per annum, and then you've got the state's budgets on top of that. Now, we certainly know in our big cities, they're really feeling the congestion pressures, and that's why we've been ramping up our infrastructure expenditure. But it's also why we've been talking more broadly about our population settings as well, to take a little bit of the pressure off those big capital cities where nearly all the population growth is going to, and supporting the growth of some of the regions in the smaller cities like Adelaide, which wants to grow faster. And if we get that better distribution of that population growth, then that supports both the cities and the regions and smaller cities as well.
Obviously, part of your job is described by the Prime Minister as being congestion busting. There's some reports today, I'm sure you will have seen them in both Victoria and New South Wales, some consideration to road user charges in the first instance for electric vehicles, which don't pay the fuel excise. Infrastructure Australia has long advocated, I think, for user charges as a way of getting motorists off the roads onto public transport. Do you think road user charges might help declog the cities?
Well, they're decisions for state governments.
Just interested in your view of this.
Yeah, there's two parts to that. One, there's decisions for state governments in terms of road user charges, and we've said we're not interested in that. That's for them. The second issue, though, is in relation to electric vehicle charges, and that's where I think there does need to be consideration of, because there's an equity issue here that if you're driving an electric vehicle, you're not paying you're not paying effectively for the roads which you're using, compared to if you're in a petrol car, when you're paying the fuel excise, and all that money, of course, does go into the roads upgrades. So I think there is an equity argument there, and there's also a fiscal argument, because as more electric vehicles come onto the market, obviously that fuel excise revenue does decline. So I think it would be
Might that not incentivise people, though, to stop polluting the environment, though?
Well, there's a couple of things there. We've already got very clear settings in terms of our emissions reductions targets, and we're well underway with those. But in addition to that, of course, we do need to raise revenue in order to pay for this infrastructure that we're talking about, and the fuel excise has been a big part of that.
All right, Alan Tudge, thank you for your time this morning. Thanks for giving us some answers that weren't the talking points. We're always grateful to you for coming.
Thanks very much, Amy.
Alan Tudge, Minister for Population, Cities and Urban Infrastructure.